Article 1 is definitions, and we've got a bunch of definitions there. Your operating agreement may or may not have a definition section. Most of them do. It's actually very convenient to define everything up front. Then you can write the agreement and refer back to these definitions. It makes the agreement a lot cleaner and a lot easier to read if you do it this way. If you're comparing this operating agreement to another one, you'll have most of the same definitions, but you may have some different, and there may be some here that you don't have. Each member is going to have a capital account. It's kind of like a bank account for the member. When the member puts money in and takes money out, then the bank account, the capital account, goes up and down. When you fund the LLC, you're going to put money in, and then you're going to get a credit in the capital account for the amount of money that you put in. When you put money in, it's really important that you get money back. Now, you don't get money back, you get stock. No, it's not stock, it's membership interests. You get membership interests back. If you give IBM $100, you want $100 in IBM stock. If you give your little LLC money or property or even sweat equity, you want a membership certificate back. And this is really important for tax purposes and also for asset protection purposes. This is what's in course 5 of the LLC wizard. And you might note it's an accounting issue. It's not a legal issue. However, if you don't do the accounting, if you don't do the stuff you need to, then you lose the asset protection. When you take distributions, that may or may not draw down your capital account. By the way, the next definition is capital contributions. That's the money that you put in. Now, it might be property, it might be real estate. The problem is, if you're putting sweat equity, you're working. In exchange for working, you get stock or membership interests back. The IRS has this funny way of saying that's income to you, and you have to pay income tax for the membership certificate you got, even though you didn't get any money. And this becomes a very critical issue if the stock or the membership interests are going to vest over a period of time. Most people get away with working for the sweat equity and getting membership interests back because they do it right at the beginning. And at the beginning of the LLC, the membership interests aren't worth much, so there isn't a lot of income. You want enough actual capital, money, in the LLC to make it work. It's called adequately capitalizing your company. And it has ramifications if you get sued early on in the history of the company. The states used to require a minimum capitalization of like $1,000, but almost all states have dropped that requirement now. But you do need enough cash up front in order to run the company for a couple of months. Then you can make the claim that it's adequately capitalized. There's a definition for company. Duh, that's your LLC, the name of your LLC. But the name is critical. In course 1 of the LLC wizard, go into great detail about how to qualify the name. Let's make sure that it's available at the Patent and Trademark Office. Let's make sure that you can get related domain names. And let's make sure that it doesn't have any implication for marketing that would be negative. We want the positive marketing implications. My son used to work for a company called 1-800-CONTACTS. Great name. Started out as a college project for a kid. After 15 years in business, they were bringing in $1.5 billion in sales. The neat thing is, anybody advertises anywhere in the United States for contacts. A certain percentage of the people who hear that ad for the competitor will pick up the phone and automatically dial 1-800-CONTACTS. Obviously, your name will have been established in the Articles of Organization that you filed with the state. You can go back, you can change the name, or you can get a DBA if you want to, a doing business as, and operate under a different name, even though the Articles of Organization and everything is under a different name. So you can basically have two names, an official name for your company and the marketing name for your company. Definition of distributable cash. You might note that an LLC does not pay dividends. It pays distributions. I told you that lawyers created a different language for LLCs, even though they basically mirror corporations. We have to keep the terminology separate, so we're going to talk about distributions. You might note right at the end of the provision, it talks about that the members' managers can keep money in the company that might be reasonably necessary for the proper operation of the company's business. Well, that becomes a very interesting asset protection tool. It's part of the double asset protection thing that you get with an LLC that you don't get with a corporation. And by having that language in your operating agreement, you can make it taste really bad when a creditor tries to chew on one of your members. That whole process is discussed in Course 6 in the LLC Wizard, but it has to be authorized here in the operating agreement. Note that it says member managers. You may not have member managers. You may have manager managed operations, in which case you'd just say the managers. But this is the thing that the managers have to do, which means you have to follow it in the formalities. They have to authorize how much is going to be kept in the company. Let's go to manager. Manager's a definition. It's the officer director of the corporation. They're not officers or directors in LLCs, they're managers. I want to point out one thing to you. I don't want husband to be one manager and wife to be the other manager. It's a huge mistake that people make to bring both spouses into the company as managers. Now, both of them can be members. That means they own stock. People who own stock or membership interests are in an entirely different position than people who are managers, officers and directors. Officers and directors, managers get sued. Stockholders, members, they don't get sued. So you don't want husband and wife both to be the managers. That means they both are exposed to liability. And in most states, if you do asset protection properly, we can make it so that either the husband or wife is at risk, the other spouse is not at risk, and they have assets that they can protect from actions of the manager or the spouse who is at risk. Those asset protection issues go beyond the LLC. We're going to use trusts and different things, but it all fits together to form an asset protection tax plan for you as an individual. Note that the manager could be a member. We can require them to be a member. That means only owners can be managers. Or the manager could be a hired gun, in which case you have a manager-managed company. The manager does not have to be an owner of the company. We're going to talk a lot about members and managers here in 2 seconds, but we're just defining what this guy is right now. Majority interest, another definition, that's pretty self-explanatory, more than 50%. The operating agreement will talk a lot about a majority vote. That's one thing. Majority interest is different than majority vote. Interest means ownership. If you've got two owners and they've both got 50%, then you might note that anywhere in the operating agreement that it says majority interest or majority vote, both of you have to agree. It basically has to be unanimous. By the way, just off the cuff here, 50-50 partnerships or 50-50 ownerships of LLCs and corporations very often end up in court. In your operating agreement, you can address what happens if the two partners, the two owners, members, don't agree. And it's a really good thing to do that before the deal blows up and both of you are at loggerheads. And just out of curiosity, if you have a choice, you want the majority interest in the ownership. That means you control. A member, definition, that's a person who has ownership, membership interests in the LLC. Membership interest is also defined. It's the same thing as stock, okay? And it's really important that you actually issue membership certificates. But it's also important for taxes. When you give money, you get money back, membership interests back. That's either called a 351 exchange or an 851 exchange, depending upon how you are having your LLC taxed. course, three of the LLC wizard goes through the mechanics of filling out each one of the forms and doing everything. And it's important for the mechanics, but it's also important in course three that we give you the tax advantages, how you make more money out of your LLC. And by the way, I will 100% guarantee you that your accountant did not do a 351 or an 851 notification to the IRS. You can get away with not doing it in most cases. However, if you're moving a big piece of real estate or a house or something into your LLC, you need to do that to establish the values. Net income is an interesting definition. You have a very stripped down definition in your operating agreement. You don't need a great big definition because you're not basing a lot of stuff off the definition of net income. When I was a young lawyer, one of my first jobs was assistant general counsel in the largest private university in the United States. I was in charge of all intellectual property, copyrights, patents, trademarks, that sort of thing. And I started out and I started to write license agreements. And they always have a royalty provision. You get 3% of net income. Well, I couldn't find a definition for net income. I went down to the accounting department in the university and said, hey, what's the definition for net income? And they gave me about what you have here in your operating agreement. Well, that wasn't good enough. I've actually written definitions of net income that go on for pages. And I've written professional articles that are 20 or 30 pages long on just how to define net income. I don't care whether the royalty is 3% or 5%. If I get to define net income, then I get to define what it's charged on. If I can define what it's charged on, I can control the royalty. I'll give you your 5% royalty. You don't have to argue for that, but I get to define what you pay me the royalty on or what I pay you the royalty on. It's a big deal, guys. Net profits and losses. That's what you're going to pay tax on or what you're going to take off your taxes. And we're just saying that the net profits and losses are going to be calculated according to the accounting principles that the IRS likes. Notice is an important definition because if there's a problem, you have to be able to show that you gave the individual, your member, your manager, notice according to the terms that made it legal under your operating agreement. So how you define notice is important, and if you follow the notice procedures, it's going to keep you out of court in many cases. You might note that you are going to be giving yourself notice in many cases. Wherever it says in the operating agreement that the manager needs to get notice or the members need to get notice, then they need to get notice. Yeah, I know it's you. You already know all of this stuff. The problem is when you get into court, when you get sued, and the judge says, well, where's the notice? And you say, well, hey, I didn't need notice, judge. I already knew all this stuff. Then the judge is going to say, no. This isn't a company. This is your alter ego. You treated it like you. So you may end up sending yourself notices. That's okay. Send yourself a notice. Keep the envelope. Prove that you mailed it. This is good asset protection stuff. Good following the formalities. It's going to keep you safe. So follow the notice provisions. Let's define notice. Operating agreement is obviously this piece of paper. Percentage interest. That's how much you own of the company. Note that that is different than the capital accounts. You're going to define the percentage interest in the operating agreement by listing each one of the members and saying how much interest they have in the company. Now, you can change those interests with a unanimous vote. This unanimous vote here is very important for asset protection purposes. Your LLC operating agreement isn't just three or four pages of boilerplate that you slap together. It makes a difference as to what you say, what taxes you pay, what asset protection you get. Everything has to be put into the operating agreement. What we're doing is we're setting up the terms of your LLC so that you can take advantage of the asset protection that I teach you how to work with in course 5 of the LLC Wizard. Another definition is person. a company can be a person. And there's a big push right now with all these occupiers and the liberal idiots to make it so that a company is not a person. Have you ever thought of it that way? You have created a person by creating your LLC. And this has really important connotations in the asset protection world, because many of the asset protection techniques are built off of the concept, I don't have it. That guy, that person over there, they have it. You can't get it from me. You've got to get it from that person. So the LLC is a person. There are a lot of other legal entities that we can basically qualify as persons. And I actually have a course, and we talk about trusts and corporations and limited partnerships and all sorts of things in order to get a big asset protection plan for you. Now, the LLC is going to be one of the most important elements there, so let's learn about it here. Don't worry about that other stuff until you need to, but when you need to, know that I go through and teach you how to use each one of these tools in conjunction with the other tools. Property means anything of value. You set the value in the 351 and the 851 forms for the IRS. Profits upon dissolution is an important definition. When your company fails, my company's never going to fail. Well, no, actually, the vast majority of companies fail. What happens when a company goes down? How do you dissolve this thing? Who gets the profit? Well, the more you define in your operating agreement, the less chance you have of going to court over what profit is and who's going to get what. So it becomes very important that we define this and then address the dissolution of the company in the operating agreement. Nobody ever thinks dissolution. You've got stars in your eyes when you create the LLC. Well, let's get down to earth and start covering our butt in case there is a problem. Defining profits is part of that cover your butt. State means the state in which your LLC is filed. Where does your LLC live? Don't fall into the trap of, you need to do your LLC, your corporation, in Nevada. You get better asset protection. There's no tax. Well, it might be Nevada, might be Delaware, might be Colorado, might be all of these places. The fact of the matter is, guys, you're getting suckered. All those guys that are trying to get you to move to Nevada with your LLC or your corporation is, they're collecting a fee for being your registered agent sitting on their butt doing nothing. There isn't going to be any tax advantage by going to Nevada. There isn't going to be any asset protection advantage by going to Nevada. Well, maybe 1% asset protection advantage, but trust me, guys, I'm going to get you on the first 99%. The cost, the inconvenience, the problem, it's all a scam. Don't fall for it. Article 2 in our operating agreement is name, place, purpose, and duration of our LLC. Now, obviously, your LLC's operating agreement, if you're comparing this to some other operating agreement, will have these same principles. They may not be in the same order, so don't get shook if Article 2 isn't name, place, duration, and all that stuff. Just look for it in your operating agreement. It starts out and it says that we formed our LLC, and we formed it under the laws of a specific state. So we lay the foundation by saying that we formed this LLC in a state, and our LLC is now a resident of that state. The name of the LLC, we're going to state it. Now, we also define the LLC as the LLC by this name. Under purpose, we just simply say that the company will be able to engage in any lawful act that any other company could engage in that specific state. Now, you could supplement that and say this is for real estate investing, or this is for publishing, or this is for manufacturing. Keep it general, though, and always continue on and say, and for any other legal purpose in the state. The place of business just identifies the principal place of business of your LLC. Now, nobody's going to see this. That's different, possibly, than the registered agent's address, or it could be the same as the registered agent's address. The next one is the registered office and agent. The company has to have a registered office. It can't be a post box or a UPS drop. It has to be a physical place where there's a warm body. The reason is the sheriff has to show up, and when you're sued, they're going to serve that lawsuit, those papers, at that address to the individual that's registered as the registered agent. Now, all of this information was in the Articles of Organization, and we're just repeating it here in the operating agreement. If you are incorporating or forming your LLC in a state where you don't have a physical address and a warm body to receive service, then you have to hire a registered agent. And that's what these guys are trying to get you to do in Nevada and Delaware and all the rest of these states. And I'm sure you're not surprised that they charge the $500, the $1,000, the $1,500, whatever it is, per year to act as your warm body, your registered agent. In your state, you could be the registered agent, or if you're operating in another state and there's somebody else there, your brother, your mother, your uncle, your sister, your cousin, or a business partner, whoever, they can act as the registered agent. All you have to do is be sure that this registered agent is smart enough that if the sheriff shows up and serves you with papers, they will immediately get those papers to you, because if they don't, you could default on the whole operation, and that wouldn't be happy. The term of the company is how long the company is going to go on for. The term is different than continuity of life. The term is how long the company is going to continue for. In this case, we put 20 years. Some states will not let you go in perpetuity. You have to put a specific time. You can always renew the company. It'll go on. Everything will be okay, but you have to set a specific term of the company. Amendments, we're going to say that the operating agreement can be amended. It's going to be unanimous vote of the members. And each member is going to get notice. Remember the notice definition? We're now saying that you have to give notice according to that provision. But if you give notice, you get a unanimous vote of all of the members, then you can amend the operating agreement. And by the way, this unanimous vote is also very important in asset protection. Now, the unanimous vote here is something that the state is usually going to weigh in on. Your state will have in its statutes, its laws, some statement about what percentage vote has to be in order to amend the operating agreement. And in most states, it is unanimous. If you put unanimous here, your state happens to not be unanimous, then the state's laws will override what you've just written here. You're not in trouble. It's okay. Just know that the state's laws may be different and they will govern in this situation. Just for fun, you might note that we're obviously going to have these amendments in writing. Some states will actually allow an amendment to be an oral agreement between all of the members. So kind of watch what you say, because if your buddies sue you, your other members sue, it may be that you amended your operating agreement through an oral discussion that you had. I want you to write everything down, though. Don't rely on any oral anytime, anywhere.